for your information, I am not now and will not be a fan of Jon Stewart, who does The Daily Show. Now, the chuckle means that there is a few of you who might be, and or at least listeners. Now, I heard about this little rant of his on the radio, and so I had to go and hear what it was. And what he was essentially ranting against is this concept of the war on Christmas. He says, there is no war on Christmas. It's a crazy idea. It's a crazy concept. He put it this way. Oh, just so that you know, Jon Stewart's a guy where if you're going to quote him in the pulpit, you probably have to paraphrase a little bit. Okay, you probably have to paraphrase a lot. You kind of have to rewrite the material. This is what he said. For whatever annoying local ticky-tack Christmas-abolishing story you and your merry band of persecution-seeking researchers can scour the wires to turn up, the rest of us can't swing a dead elf without knocking over an inflatable snow globe or a giant blinking candy cane. He says, even in the middle of Midtown Manhattan, where the Fox studios are, it is the center of all that is godless, secular, gay, Jewy, and hellbound, and yet, he says, it looks like Santa Claus exploded. Christmas trees and ornaments and candy canes and Santa Claus, they're everywhere. This is what he thinks Christmas is about. Oops. He put it this way. There are radio stations that play nothing but Christmas carols. There are stores that sell nothing but Christmas decorations all year long. There's a TV channel devoted to a Yule log. He also commented that it's kicking CNN in the ratings. I'm kind of happy about that one. There are old-timey Christmas programming. Real old-timey Dickensian Christmas special programming. New time, hey, 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 urban Christmas specials. Mormon Christmas specials. Country Western Christmas specials. There are chipmunk Christmas specials. Otter Christmas specials. Bear Christmas specials. Cat Christmas specials. Large-headed child Christmas specials. Gay Christmas. Jewish Christmas. Underwater Christmas. Christmas from the future. Prehistoric Christmas. Yes, there's a Christmas special celebrating Jesus' birth thousands of years before the birth of Jesus. Well, I had to call him on a factual error here. As I watched the Flintstones Christmas special, there is no mention of Jesus whatsoever. It's all about Fred subbing for an ailing Santa Claus. He could do it, too. And that to them is Christmas, folks. Folks, that is the war in many cases. And I say it's time to reclaim Christmas and to redeem Christmas, to buy it out of the slave market that the world has put it in. Someone else did that long before us. I'm going to read about them. Luke chapter 2, beginning at the 8th verse. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch over at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough. And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what has happened that the Lord has made known to us." And they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. And seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Father God, we're not here to declare war, but simply to reclaim what is rightfully yours, the signs of Christmas, and make every one of them point to Jesus. It's in his name and for his glory that we pray. Amen. Well, the shepherds were told there would be a sign. Now they were told, what were they going to find? They were going to see a baby. There's probably a dozen of them. How do we know? Well, it's wrapped in cloths. Right, all the other babies in Bethlehem are naked. Well, swaddling cloths, but that's just wrapped up in cloth. But what is it? The feeding trough, the manger. Now, I promised a lot of you a picture of a manger. That's a manger. There's a reason why you don't see mangers like this in school Christmas pageants. You'd have to bring them in with a crane, you know. They were told, babies don't belong in mangers. Babies don't belong in feeding troughs. But this one will be. Now, here's the point. When the shepherds found the manger, was the manger any big deal anymore? No, the manger was no big deal. You might direct people to this church. Give them the indicate, tell them the roads and the turns and that sort of thing. And then you might say, and there's a big sign with, you know, that has a message center on it. When you see that sign, you know you're at the building. And when they come in here, what is the sign? It's forgotten. In the interest of something greater. Signs just point to something greater. The feeding trough pointed to something greater. We can take the signs of Christmas and point them to something greater, or more correctly, someone greater. We are not to let secularism defeat us. I think Paul said it so well, and I love this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. Let me add, they are not political. They are not media. They are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that's our goal in worship, is to take our thoughts and then make the world's thoughts obedient to Christ. Now these shepherds, when they heard there was a sign, they took action, immediate action. And I think God is calling us to similar action. After they saw the child, what does the scripture say they did in verses 17 and 18? After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. They did what? They told others. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They told of an angel. They told of a feeding trough. And then what? The people went, they saw the feeding trough and saw the child, and again the feeding trough disappeared in their minds as the child took prominence. All things point to the child, and we make everything point to the child. They proclaimed Jesus. Folks, you saw all the little signs up here, all the little things up here. We can make every one of them point to Jesus. If we want to. If we're diligent. So what signs can we point to? Now I'm going to give just a few ideas, okay? You can use your creativity after that. We can make the signs of Christmas, the most secular ones, point to Jesus. Now, what would you say is the most pervasive sign of Christmas that you see in the world? Oh, did I hold up a cue card? Did I have to? Does Santa Claus belong to the world or to the church? He belongs to the church. He's ours. Saint Nicholas belongs to the church. He's a brother in Christ. A departed brother, but a brother in Christ. And you want to hear the wild thing about Santa Claus or St. Nicholas. I'll tell you how he got his name, by the way. An Englishman was talking to a Russian by a Russian church, and he saw an icon of St. Nicholas. And the British guy said, "Who is that?" And the Russian said, in his broken up English, "St. Nicholas." Now, can you hear St. Nicholas? St. Nicholas. But you also hear Santa Claus. And that's what the British guy heard. And that's how Santa Claus got his name. But how did he get his image? Well, there's that famous poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, right? He's not called Santa Claus. He's called St. Nicholas. A sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. St. Nick came, right? He's St. Nicholas, not Santa Claus, in that poem. And that's where we get our image, and that image was enhanced into picture form by Thomas Nast, political cartoonist, who drew that picture based on that. Now, what do we know about St. Nicholas? 4th century bishop in Myra, which is in modern Turkey. And you want to know the most, you want to hear historical irony. You know what he's famous for? He's famous for being anonymous. He was generous, giving, he gave charitably, but he didn't want anyone to know he did it. Now they figured it out, and he was famous because he sought to be anonymous. There's that famous story, maybe a legend, but it's a famous story of a farmer who was very poor, and he wanted to marry his daughter, get his daughter married off to someone, but he didn't have a dowry for her. And so Nicholas was bishop of that region, knew about the farmer's plight, went to the house at night to try to sneak some money to him, but the farmer was awake, and he felt, if I put this down on the table or something through a window, he's going to hear it, and I'm going to get found out. But he happened to see, within reach, some stockings hanging by the fireplace, drying, and so he was able to slip the money into the stocking. Now, what do you think that brings us to, don't you know? Okay, so if someone, have you ever, even as a child, gotten a gift under the tree from Santa Claus? Who's it from? Well, it's probably from mom and dad, but the intention is what? Anonymous. What did Jesus teach us? That when you give, don't blow a trumpet. Don't seek to be noticed. Don't even seek to be thanked. Give generously without needing to be recognized. I just took Santa Claus and pointed to Jesus. And of course, Jesus gave the greatest gift of all, not just his life on the cross, but his life for 33 years of sinless living. Try 33 minutes. He did it for 33 years. And then gave his life for us and rose again. I just witnessed to you. I just gave you the whole gospel talking about Santa Claus. You can do that, can't you? What's another pervasive symbol of Christmas? We have it right here, don't we? Tree. Where's the tree come from? Is that ours or the world's? It's ours. It's ours. Now, one of the legends about the Christmas tree is that Martin Luther was out walking and praying in the woods, and he saw stars through the evergreen trees. And he was so taken with it, and he thought of the starry night in Bethlehem. Cut down a small fir tree, and in his later years, he was a devoted father. Brought it home to his kids and put candle lights in it. We wouldn't do that today now, would we? It's all LEDs these days. He's a typical German, yeah. He ain't worried about that. Don't sweat the small stuff, right? Like, fire! And often we put a big star at the top to symbolize what? The star that among the other stars. The star everybody can notice among the other stars. Which signaled the coming of Christ. So that people knew, not just Jewish people knew, but Gentile people knew, people from the nations. Jesus Christ is for all mankind. What did I just do? I took something that's used by the world, pointed you to Jesus. Now, granted, there are some signs that definitely started with the world, and in fact, started with that poem by Clement Moore, and one of those signs is the reindeer. See the reindeer everywhere. Now, I need my fashion model. You can keep this. There you go. Reindeer. Now, the boys are wondering, why did I insist it had to be a good... Got a model for us. Got to show us. Kaylee's modeling career is now off to a screeching halt. But if she, when she's a world famous fashion model, I saw her first modeling job. Now, I was in Best Buy a few days ago, and my cashier was a girl wearing antlers like that. And I said, did you know, her name was Jen. I said, Jen, did you know there's an amazing thing, it's very appropriate that you are wearing the antlers. She said, why? I said, because a reindeer is a caribou, same animal, and caribou, both the males and females, have antlers. But there's an amazing fact. Male caribou lose their antlers in late fall. So all of Santa Claus's reindeer are females. Girl power. Way to go. So the reindeer, by the way, and so it's the girls, the females, who carry the gifts of Christmas. Did you know it was a woman who carried the first Christmas gift? A marvelous woman, a woman who loved God, carried the first Christmas gift. I told her that at Best Buy. Talked about Jesus, took a symbol from the world, talked about Jesus. Thank you.
That's your fashion model.
Take over. It's ours anyway. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And you know, the world can't throw anything at us that we can't throw back to Jesus. Let's tell people about Jesus in all things. Point to Jesus. What does the marvelous passage in Proverbs tell us? Proverbs chapter 3. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Let me rephrase that the way Bill Gothard does. In all things, make Christ known. In all things, point to Jesus, and He will make your path straight. And you'll have a chance to witness.